What a glorious day to be a basketball fan in Sacramento. Got Whitey and Jay. Drapes will be with us any minute now. He must have been amazing last night having the call for that one. How about it, Jay? It's true. It's real. We're not imagining it. The Kings have swept the Lakers.
Pull out the broom?
Yeah, the purple broom.
The purple, is it a push broom or
purple
is it like one of the,
broom.
You know?
Purple broom. Yeah, I think a big
push broom,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, don't you?
Yeah. Get them up out of here.
Yeah, that's the way the Lakers look right now. And they, you know, they came in first quarter and I thought they played with some force. I thought the Lakers brought some force in there and they hung around. The Kings, they wobbled a little bit. Weebles wobbled, but they don't fall down and they hung in there. Then by the end of that game, if they played another quarter, the Kings would have won by 50.
Yeah, agreed. It was getting towards that way. You start seeing, like, even in the end of the third quarter and pushing into the fourth quarter, I thought the Lakers, they made a few runs, a couple of LeBron dunks, and Austin Reeves hit a long three. And, you know, it was all fine and dandy. You heard a couple of little Laker fans try to put their hands in the sky, you know, like they were at a concert. But it was all said and done.
Yes. Then we as Kings fans, well, you know, the media section, you're not supposed to root.
Yes, you
can. But Kings fans put their hands in the air and said, bye, as the Laker fans left early. Yeah, bye-bye.
How about you?
Thanks for coming.
Did White Gleason put his hand in the
air?
No. Oh, you're professional.
Yeah. Okay. You know what I did? Don't tell anybody, but I actually, where I was sitting, I was a little far away from the action, so I was moving up, and I ended up sitting in a media seat that was not occupied. And then the game ended, and I looked up, and Kendra Andrews was standing there, and I looked down. I was like, oh, this is your seat. I'm sorry about that. She was very nice about it.
We don't care about that, man. You, this is Sacramento, brother.
I know.
This is your town.
Yeah, I know. She was very nice. She said,
Doesn't matter. I'm telling you. This is your town. I'm putting it on my back.
That's what I should have told her.
All due respect to all national media, when they come into town, they visitors. We lay out the red carpet for them.
All right. So
this
next
your squad,
time, I'll
brother.
Just say, hey. This is my town.
That's it.
Yeah, okay.
I got your back.
Yeah. Well, speaking of ESPN, I thought it was interesting that today ESPN is in what can only be described as a full-blown tizzy over what did that Laker loss mean for the Lakers? You know, the Kings, whatever. But they're just coming apart at the seams on ESPN today because, oh, well, that loss was terrible. And it is true. The Lakers just got they got beaten up last night again by Domas and the Kings.
Well, you know, that's what happens, and it was almost fitting, and I know, you know, you guys will talk about it, but it was almost fitting. Domas, I think the picture of the night is AD on the ground on the court, and I'm glad he was all healthy because we're not talking about that, but
I just think
it was fitting that you seen Domas, you know, celebrating and AD on the floor, and you kind of see a bunch of Laker fans who, for whatever reason, snuck their way into the G1C, because that's what I'm going to call it. I know they might have paid their hard-earned money, but they snuck their way into it.
Yeah.
And it was just fitting to kind of, you know, I guess be a memento of the night and the season sweep.
Mm-hmm. This is totally unfair because, you know, if you've played basketball, you've ever been hit in the mouth, you know it really hurts. Totally unfair. But one of the things I thought of when, you know, given the circumstances, given the way Domas has dominated AD, when AD got hit in the mouth with the elbow, whatever it was, he went down. I was reminded of Ronnie Lott story one time. They're playing somebody, I don't know, an Eric Wright or somebody gets hurt, and Ronnie Lott goes over and stands over his teammate and says, get up. Like, we don't let the other team see us down on the floor like that. I know football's a little different, but I thought given what was going on, that was the last thing AD could afford to do is roll around on there like, oh, my mouth. Like I said, I'm sure it hurt, but if I was LeBron or somebody, I would have been shouting, get up.
Well, how about someone goes over there and helps him out? It took him so long for someone to even go over there and extend it. You know, I'm pretty sure you've heard this legend. There's been plenty of times where I've heard veterans tell youngsters when they hit the ground, don't get up by yourself. We'll come and help you up.
Yeah, you're right.
And I thought it just took a long time. And I thought that was, you know, a moment in this series this year and in the game last night that was really telling. Like, Domas has really handled AD, you know, to the fullest. And I think these are the reasons that we've heard AD over the, you know, throughout his course of his career in the NBA talk about he doesn't want to be a center. He doesn't like when someone comes right at him physically.
Mm-hmm. I think Domas kind of knows that too, doesn't
he? Of course.
Yeah, after the game, he was asked about it, and we'll play that audio later. And he said, oh, you guys don't, you know, he's such a monster on the court. And then when he's in the locker room and after the game, he's like, oh, I wish you guys wouldn't talk about that. It makes life hard on me, you know, because it's just going to fire him up. But on the floor, he gets that look and he just physically dominated the Brow.
You know what Domas reminds me of?
Who's
Batman.
That?
You know how Batman is always just quiet and very.
Yes,
just,
I do.
Hey, man, you know, everything is good. It's always controlled until his rage,
yeah,
you know, jumps out of the way. But he's just always quiet and very precise, you know, and kind of stoic. And that's kind of how Domas speaks. And just his pattern. I don't know why it reminds me of, like, Christian Bale playing Batman or something.
Yeah. Speaking of Batman. Our superhero has just arrived. Yeah, as we continue to bask in the afterglow of the Kings season sweep.
Push broom, baby.
Lakers with a purple push broom drapes.
Not that small one you get from the Dollar Tree.
Right, right. Big old push broom.
Not that one that breaks at the handle down
at
the bottom.
Yeah, you turn it into stick ball. Right. Not that.
Not that one. That would have been what would have happened if they had not won last night.
Well, you know why I'm late, right?
No, celebration?
Yeah, I was still on them streets of Sacramento partying,
right?
I was still partying.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What a game. What an atmosphere. Has there ever been... in the Mike Brown era, two straight wins like that during the regular season, like a coronation, a celebration against superstars.
Probably not.
Like,
huh?
I can't remember anything that magical.
Not even last year.
Last year was
great. I'm gonna
have
to think about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering because, and I'm talking about the caliber of opponent too, Jay.
What were the games before and right after last year, the 176-175 game? Maybe something.
Yeah, something like that.
Even
something
then,
like that.
This year's different because things have been so, hey, when are they going to get going? And
right.
All of a sudden, you know, coming off that terrible loss.
No, I was going to say, and I know this is kind of cheating, but those first two games in the playoffs at G1C were, that was a whole
when
different
they beat level. Yeah. That's when they beat the Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, but I'm talking just regular season. Caliber opponent.
And let's face it,
all his hope is lost.
Them.
Exactly. They dominated. But, like, think about this. They dominated LeBron, Anthony Davis, Giannis, and Dame Lillard. That's four Hall of Famers. Three of those guys are top 75 of all time. And they dominated those guys.
And there's only one of those four about whom you could say, well, he played well. Right, Giannis had a good game.
Yeah,
the other three is like, whoa.
Right, and LeBron may have gotten some late points, but by that time, it was a wrap. You know, he was just padding his stats, and so
he had no interest in guarding Harrison Barnes.
I mean, I'll talk about this coming up in Drape's takes. LeBron looked his age last night, I thought, and we'll dive deeper into that. I thought the Kings looked like the younger, hungrier team yesterday. Like they were running circles around the Lakers. I thought last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we celebrate today along with you, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. And we were just talking, Drapes, about how ESPN today, oh my goodness, they don't know what to make of this. What does that loss mean for the Lakers? Windhorse is saying, I can't take the Lakers seriously. It's like, it took that?
Right.
You didn't realize how defenseless this team is?
Yeah, it's
not a good team.
ESPN is the... Lakers television network.
Let's do the funeral today, Jay. What do you say?
Can we do it now, Jay? Can we do it now?
No. They're still on life support. You don't that now.
What?
Okay.
All right.
No,
all
you
right.
don't do that now. We know better. And why do you're legendary here, man. You know better. What happened when you went to the funeral? What happened?
That wasn't our fault.
It was.
I want to double down on it and prove that we were right all along.
Yeah, see, here we go. Drapes, don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
No, and I'm still a newbie, so I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Why not? I'm getting caught up in the hype right now.
We don't even need to, right? Because basically the Kings held a funeral of sorts for the Lakers last night themselves.
Exactly. And the Lakers look like a team that's cashing out. Like, they're like, I'm done. I'm pushing away from the table. And I think they thought that they could turn it on. LeBron thought, you know what? And what I saw last night and what I saw last week when we played them, LeBron cannot single-handedly win a game anymore. Like, he can't get to that level. And now maybe it's foolish of me to doubt LeBron James, the quote-unquote king, but not with these young boys running around. De'Aaron Fox ain't scared of LeBron James. My boy Harrison Barnes wasn't scared of LeBron James last night. And so I think those days of LeBron single-handedly winning a game, I think they might be – he needs help right now. And he's not getting it from Anthony Davis, not when they play the Kings.
Right. I know that we're going to end up talking some about, you know, a lot about Keon, and I don't want to step on Drape's takes. I'll just say, as far as the whole, should he be starting? I'm sure we'll kick that around. To me, the bottom line is there's a good – you could make the argument he should be. He's not going to. I mean, if you hear Mike Brown, right, he's pretty much all but just coming to your house, knocking on your door, and handing you a declaration that Kevin Huerter is our starter going forward. I think that's just the way it's going to be, and that's all right.
Are you okay with that? I know, Keon, you've been beating a drum. Keon must start. I think he's just going to
start.
I thought you said he should start over Kevin Huerter. I thought that's what you – that was the
– if I was coaching right now, I might do it, but it's not going to – I would play him more, and I think he's going to play more.
Right, yeah. He's in a rotation now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
no more DMP CDs, I think, for Keon Ellis going forward.
Yeah.
And so, no, it's a good problem to have if you're Mike Brown, right? And this is something we talked about a month ago. Mike has been shuffling the lineup because he hasn't found guys he can trust. Keon Ellis is now in that circle of trust for Mike Brown, and I think he'll be a part of the rotation.
Boy, so is another one of your guys, huh? Chris Duarte working his way.
How about
in there.
Chris? Yeah. He came in, hit a couple of threes out there. I love Chris Duarte, man, and he had his family. His brother was in town from Toronto yesterday. I talked to him about it before the game, and I think Chris Duarte, the effort is always there. Like the wanting to do good. You know what Chris Duarte is like? Chris Duarte is like that kid that is looking for his parents' approval all the time. Mm. He's trying out there. He's trying. See, Mike, I'm playing defense. And if he's going to knock down threes, same thing with Keon Ellis we saw early. Like if he's knocking down threes, if Keon's knocking down threes, the way they play defense, they should be getting some minutes out there.
There is no better way to celebrate the Kings win than with Drape's Takes.
Yeah.
We have that for you next with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Oh, we got a real quick update for you before we get to Drape's Takes, which we're looking forward to. Emil Fragoso, how about it? Drape's your guy. Emil's back with us.
No, it's off season, so we're good. Like, I can't take this guy through, what, August through February? But we're in March now, off season. It's all love right
now. I thought
here.
You were avoiding me, honestly. I've come on a couple times. You haven't been here. They say you're taking an off day. I go, well, I don't know about
but
that.
But anyway, yeah, we got to get to Drape's.
Yeah,
takes,
we got to get
Emil,
to that.
As long as you're here, what do we have, an update on a past 49er?
Yes. Unfortunately, the news is correct. Eric Armstead, the 9-year veteran, former captain, four-time captain for the Niners, is leaving and going to the Jacksonville Jaguars, reuniting with his former GM Trent Baalke on a 3-year, $51 million deal that is not confirmed as of guarantees yet, but that is the reported deal.
Do we know what the Niners were trying to restructure, what kind of deal they were trying to restructure with him?
The exact numbers, no, we do not know, but I do know the Niners were trying to get him to take a pay cut, probably closer to $10 million per year they were looking to get him to, and that was a bit too much of a cut for Eric, especially considering his cap. It was $28 million this year with $18 million on his salary. Now he goes to Jacksonville and gets $17 million per year, which is a great deal for a guy coming off of a meniscus tear.
Thank you, Emil.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate that. Right now it's time for Drape's Takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Let me just start off by saying my Sacramento Kings, my guys, Keon Ellis, my guy, Davion Mitchell, my guy. And here's the thing. You're my guy when you play well, and Keon Ellis has been playing well. I'll start right there. You know, there's been a lot of adjectives to talk about Keon, the energy he brings. You know, he got to get some minutes. What I'm seeing from Keon is something that everybody on this team should take a page out of, really across the league. Keon Ellis is engaged on every play. It's not that he's making plays and he's playing hard. No, he is engaged. He doesn't take a play off mentally. He's not just hanging over in the corner trying to guard a guy. Like, he is locked in right now. And I understand he's a young player, second-year player, and some veterans, like watching LeBron James last night, and I'll get to him. He knows different possessions throughout the game mean a little more. No, for Keon Ellis, every possession matters from the start to the finish, and I think that's something the Kings have been missing. It's sort of contagious. It's sort of breathed new life, I think, into this Kings defense.
Keon Ellis is underappreciated. He's underrated. He's overlooked. He's also very determined. In a lot of ways, Keon Ellis is Sacramento.
Ooh, I like that. And that's why this fan base is really gravitating to him. My second Drape take has to do with Domantas Sabonis. And I know we've been singing his praises. We know he's an all-star guy, even despite what the coaches say. But one thing, and it finally hit me, and I kind of knew this, but it was on full display last night. Domantas Sabonis likes to get it from the mud. He doesn't like the aesthetically pleasing kind of game. He doesn't like the finesse game. He wants to deliver punishment. And what he did to Anthony Davis last night, he de-pantsed him. He undressed Anthony Davis. And here's the thing, Whitey. Domas is very much aware that he's undefeated against Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis went into last night's game aware of it as well. It seemed like Domantas Sabonis was out to prove something when it should have been Anthony Davis.
Yep, yep.
Like, Anthony Davis looked like the guy that had, you know, mopped the floor with Domas, was undefeated. And Domas looked like the guy with a chip on his shoulder. And the way he just took it to AD with the physical play. And then when Davis got hit in the chops and Domas, you know, banged it in. And the flex and the scream. Like, you would talk about statues. I need that statue.
Yeah.
With Anthony Davis with his legs up in the air. That was tremendous to watch last night.
I was thinking of synonyms for cooking, and that's what Domas did to AD last night. He fried him. He barbecued him.
You know, but filleted really, him too?
He did. Yeah. But more than that, like you said, it was more about how he just physically dominated him. He destroyed Anthony Davis.
He did, like,
night.
Physically, yeah. Like you said, he destroyed Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis kept looking for the foul call, looking to the refs for help, and they did not give him any help last night. I thought Domas was truly amazing. My last Drape's take is this. Kings fans, I'm a self-admitted LeBron James fan. I like LeBron. I like watching him play. I've always been a LeBron James fan. But the dude is old, and he looked old last night. LeBron James looked like a former king, not the king. Like, the way the Sacramento Kings made LeBron look, and it's not about the numbers. LeBron James last night, 6 of 16, 18 points. It's not about that. When LeBron would go for a loose ball, Keon Ellis would race right by him. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk. He was slow to everything last night. Slow to rotations, slow to boxing out. Other than those two dunks back-to-back, and maybe 1-3, I thought LeBron James looked like an aging star last night.
I chuckle because I agree with you 100%. Those are the three plays that I would point to. But other than that, he was basically a non-factor.
A non-factor, yeah. Right?
And
0 points in the first.
His defense was a positive for Sacramento.
Yeah, and I've made excuses for LeBron James and given him grace on defense because the dude's 39. Like, you know,
and he's got a bad wheel.
You know, if you're expecting LeBron to play at that high level, but that's the issue with the Lakers right now. Their best player is still LeBron James. It should be Anthony Davis, but clearly he doesn't have the heart to go against a guy like Domantas Sabonis. And so the Lakers that we saw last year that put it together, trade deadline, buyout market, went on a run to the Western Conference Finals. It's not happening. It is not happening this year because LeBron just can't get to that level right now. And even if they do make it out, you know who's going to be the number one seed? We talked about it yesterday. The Denver Nuggets.
Yep.
Lakers want no part of Denver either. And so I think the Lakers run with LeBron James, done, finished, kaput, it's over.
Windhorse was pointing out that last year when the Lakers made their move, one of the things that fueled their postseason run was they actually were a really good defensive team. And right now, they are not.
And you know, it's a horrible point of attack defensive team. And when you can't stop the ball on the perimeter, we've seen it ourselves. Other than Keon Ellis recently, and Davion and De'Aaron, guys have been able to blow right by us and really crack our defense. That's what's happening to the Lakers. And I do want to make one quick final Drape's take
bonus
point.
Bonus take?
As much as we talk about the defense, Keon Ellis, Davion, De'Aaron, deflections, when the Kings hit threes, they are a completely different team. And maybe the defensive energy is translating to the offensive end of the floor and is keeping them engaged. But the three ball is still a big part of what the Kings do.
Yeah, I think it's really important. As we were saying yesterday, they've got to match or outperform the other team's three-point shooting. And the Lakers, 14 of 32, that's good, but the Kings were better, 19 of 41.
19 of 41 from three-point range. That's a winning formula for the Kings. And these last two games, I said it last segment, two of the best stretches of Kings basketball since I've been here. This is my fourth season. Like, the fans left happy, the coaches. Mike Brown, what are you showing on film today negative? Like, you got to dig deep if you're Mike Brown during today's film session, because I thought the guys over the last two games have played extremely well.
Yeah.
So that's Drape's Takes, Whitey. It's brought to you by Ausco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Ausco Uniforms.
Now, Jay says he may have found a stretch last year that came close to, or Jay may even think it was more impressive than this two-game streak.
Timeout. Why is Jay always trying to discount what I'm saying?
That's not true.
Now, Jay, what? I come up with something. Yesterday, we did the same thing, and Jay's like, hold on, Drapes. I got like eight other free agent signings that now today I'm like, this is the best two-game stretch. Jay's like, I need to look into that. Why are you doing that to me?
Because that's my job.
Perspective, huh? You're providing proper historical full window. Perspective.
Well, first of all, if I don't do my job, let me see. Let me tell you where this show is going. We would have already a cemetery, mortuary, and a funeral one situation. We would have conversations about this being the greatest Kings win and greatest Kings victory ever in this organization, right. Even going back to Kansas City. I mean, we just can't do that. We are the show of not the people, but of our guys. So we got to keep it a buck on this show.
You're the very essential drive guys restrictor plate.
Absolutely.
Right.
I like it. We're bringing that miles per hour right on down.
All right, what you got then, Jay? Please tell me why I might be wrong.
I said you might be. I actually kind of agree with you, but I'm going back to last year because you only said Mike Brown. I'm not going back to 1985 and Reggie Theus and company. But I say this in the fact of last year, November 9th, it started on a Wednesday. Now, the Kings had only won three games at this point in time. They were 3-7 at this point. Then they played the Cavaliers, got the win, came back home. I mean, went to Los Angeles, so they started here, went to L.A. Lakers, got the win. Played the Golden State Warriors back at home, got the win, and he got Brooklyn Nets. So I think that's a solid four, but just the Cavs, Lakers, Warriors, that's a pretty good three.
Yeah,
that is. And, Jay, I'm going to throw in that Brooklyn one because, remember, that was a nationally televised game.
That's right.
TNT, and that was a party that night, too.
Very true.
You might be right. But it's been few and far between since then, especially this season, where it's like back-to-back games where you're feeling – against that level of competition in terms of star power, that you're like, okay, this Kings team may have found something
here
recently.
Right, and to Jay's point, at that time, that Warrior team, they were defending champions, right, at that to your point, these two games, given the way this has been so up and down, and what are they? I don't know. I don't know. They lost to the Rockets. To respond to that Rocket loss, home loss this way.
How about this, fellas, real quick, and this is something to chew on for the rest of the show, maybe we throw it out, 916-339-1140, because I thought the Bucks game after them, you know, the last couple of games, they come off a loss, things like that, and I won't say they're struggling, but I think they're trying to find their rhythm with Doc Rivers coming in, and we even heard that from Marcus Johnson, who's a friend of the show now, but was yesterday like the premier win for Mike Brown? Like, there's only one that really pops in my mind, and I'll keep it, but I think yesterday was one of the most premier wins for Mike Brown here in Sacramento.
Regular season. Yeah, the last 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me chew on that for a minute. I gotta think.
Come back to that 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah, let me look at the schedule and think about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
And when we come back, we'll be joined by our Sacktown Sports Kings insider, Frankie Cardicelli. What does he think of the magnitude of last night's win? We'll find out next year. Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports.
Last, you know, putting together two games in a row. And obviously our struggles this year were back-to-back. So for us, I think to come out and play 48 minutes, stay poised throughout the whole thing, get a win, it was huge.
Very matter-of-fact. Harrison Barnes.
Yes.
Last night. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You want to check in here on the text line or give us a call. We're going to get to Frankie in just a moment. Before we do, on the chat here, we hear from Emmy. Haven't heard from Emmy in a while. Emmy's wondering any update on Sasha. Do we have an update on Sasha?
No, I have nothing new on Sasha.
Still a chance, as far as we know, that he'll be maybe available before the end of the season. But
yeah, what was it?
He's still being evaluated.
Still being evaluated, right? I haven't seen him shooting or anything out there. So no update on Sasha right now.
Compio says, I give Draper props for using the expression Ghostface Killer.
Oh, my guy Compio. You heard that last night, man. You know what? Last night's game, it was such a blowout and such a great game played by the Kings. I just started throwing things out there. Whatever came to mind, I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. And if it sticks, great. And my guy Compio heard that. Thanks, Compio.
Very nice. Here's the original Ghostface Killer. Frankie Cardicelli, our Sacktown Sports Kings insider. How are you today, Frankie?
Fellas, it's been a nice day. You know, I'm enjoying a day off, just watching all the national shows. I've checked in on First Take and NBA Today and all those shows, and just a pretty constant state of panic around Lakerland right now. So nice change of pace for things in this, you know, used to be rivalry, I guess you could call it. But
used to be rivalry.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Our guy, Frankie Cardicelli. Frankie, these last two games, what's been the thing that stands out most to you? And not from an individual player standpoint, but just overall, what are you seeing from the team the last couple of games?
I think you said it in your Drapes takes that the three-point shooting is so important for this team. And I looked at the numbers here, and it's pretty staggering. When the Kings shoot 35% or higher from three, they hold a 30-9 record this year. That's 77%. You're winning 77% of your games when you knock down 35% of your threes. And, again, I think Mike Brown really made a point about those spray threes and bringing those opposing defenses in when they're driving into the paint and guys are getting free on the perimeter. And you look at Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray last night with a good performance. Keon Ellis has been knocking down threes aside from the things he's been doing on the defensive end. When the Kings as a group are knocking down three-pointers, they're just very, very hard to beat. And that's been a theme for them all season. It goes back to even last year. And I'm looking at that and pushing the pace. I mean, Mike also wants his team to run. And the past two games, they outscored the Lakers 16-6 in fast break points. And then against Milwaukee, another good defensive team, 18-5 in fast break points. So pushing the pace, running, and knocking down threes, that's when this team's at their best. And that's what we've seen the past two games.
Frankie, as you well know, the Kings have allowed over the last two third quarters combined a total of 39 points. It was 22 against the Bucks and only 17 last night. So what's going on there?
I mean, I think I saw, I don't know if it was Carmichael Dave that shared it, but there was some, the NBA put up a video saying Lakers own third quarter. I think it said something like that, like a video from the actual NBA, and the Kings really have changed the pace that last night in the third. So I don't know. I think that really just letting teams kind of, I think not letting teams off the hook. I think the Kings, when they've lost games, they've let opposing teams have that one big quarter. And I know it might sound simple as far as outscore the other team in the quarter, but really just defensive intensity to me has been very important and very notable at this group. And it comes to the small things too. Taking charges. Keegan Murray's been taking some big charges in these games. Keon Ellis, the intensity he brings on the defensive end. I'm sure you guys have talked about him, and I know the other guys in the other shows have talked about him today, just what he's been bringing. But it really has changed the way that this team operates. And if you watch the Kings every day, and obviously Drapes, you're on the call. Whitey, you're at every game watching with us. This is just a different look from this team the past two games. And even kind of goes back the past five games for the defense to me. I mean, I'm looking at the past five games. Kings have a 4-1 record. They're holding opponents to 112 points. Now, 112 points, that's still a good amount of points, of course. But for this Kings team, they're outscoring opponents by 10 points on every given night. That's from a team that, on average, I think they're still flirting with a one-point differential on average on most game nights. They're still kind of trying to improve their standing there. But the defense, to me, that was huge last night in the third, helped the Kings create separation. And against Milwaukee, not quite in the third. I think it was the second quarter they created separation with a good defensive showing. So they're choosing their time to get hot on that end of the floor at the right times, and it's paid off.
Frankie Cardicelli joining us, Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports, 1140. Frankie, what's the minutes count on Keon Ellis going forward? When everybody's healthy, how much should he be on the floor for this Kings team?
Man, we were talking about it last night, the media table. We were just kind of trying to figure out that pie chart of minutes. And it's going to be someone. I mean, it might be Harrison Barnes one night. It could be Keegan Murray if he's not feeling it like he has been the past couple of games. Of course, he's been playing through some ankle problems. But and then obviously Kevin Huerter, a guy who has been very sporadic with his minutes as of late. Mike Brown put him in late the past couple of games before he missed last night's game. But I think we're at a point now where you just can't really keep him off the floor. I mean, he's earned that right. as far as the personnel that you have on the roster, players that can be that active on defense, the deflections he causes, the disruption he causes on the defensive end, the fact that he can still push the pace, you can have him bring the ball down, he can play off ball and be a threat from the perimeter. I think he's around 37% from three this season. It's going to be someone that's going to have to take a little hit in their playing time. I think I'm looking at those two players that I just named before, Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes, players that are not always on the floor in crunch time. I think that Keon Ellis right now, and you can call it Bryden hot hand or whatever you want to call it, but I don't see any way you can resonate keeping him off the floor when he's proven that he deserves to be playing meaningful minutes on this team. And that just kind of goes to hand-in-hand with the story of Keon Ellis, is how he's come from an undrafted player. And Brendan Nunez and I were talking last night about what could he be for this team. They signed him to a full contract. He's under contract for two more years after this year. I think the way that Brendan and I kind of equated it to is like a Lou Dort-type presence, not quite as far as body type and build, but just from their stories and what they can bring as far as skill set goes, being an on-ball and off-ball defender and being a guy who can knock down threes, just the energy that he brings is undeniable. So I'd be very surprised if when Kevin Herter comes back, Keon Ellis might not be starting, but playing meaningful minutes throughout the night.
That, of course, is Frankie Clicks Cardicelli with us, our Sacktown Sports Kings insider. Frankie, after the game last two nights, as you know, I'm sitting right behind you there in the interview room. Mike Brown has been asked about Keon as a starter. The way I read it, I want to see if this is how you read it. You know, we can debate how many minutes he should get or this or that, but Mike Brown to me is pretty clear here that that is not an option for him. Keon Ellis is not going to be starting anytime soon. Is that the way you understood what he had to say as well?
Yeah, and I do think I've kind of gone back and forth a little bit, because Mike did make a change early in the season, which I didn't really expect to happen with Kevin for Chris Duarte when he was trying to have more of a defensive punch in that starting unit. But I think at this point in the year, you know, Mike has his guys, he has his systems. And I think that Mike's been very outspoken about the fact that he really does not care who starts that often. And he kind of scoffs that when the reporters ask about the starting lineups, he kind of jokes with us. And, you know, he really doesn't really read too much into it. I think that he cares a lot more, and actually he said this, he cares about more who's on the floor at the end of games, who is going to be there that last five. And it could change at any given night. You have your staples and De'Aaron Fox and Monta Sabonis. I'd say there's I'd be very shocked if Malik Monk's not a part of that group too. But there's those two interchangeable spots. Usually it's Keegan Murray and then maybe Harrison Barnes or maybe Kevin Herter. But I look more at the end of games, and I think that's more important. I think that getting off to a good start is very important as well, but closing out is more so. And Keon Ellis right now looks like a guy that just fits that mold of being a closing player, because in late game situations, you need stops. And the Kings really have struggled over the last year and a half of being consistent with picking up late game stops. And I think one thing they've done pretty well in recent memory is do that. I mean, going back to the Spurs game, which is, you know, it's the San Antonio Spurs, they're last in the West, but the fact they're in that position is not great to begin with. But when they needed stops late, they were able to get them. And luckily, the last two nights, they haven't needed to do that. But Keon Ellis fits that mold to me more so than a starting spot right now.
Our guy, Frankie Cardicelli, joining us here, Sacktown Sports 1140. Frankie, my co-host over here is ready to have a funeral. He got on black, actually, today. A little black shirt little bit, there. Yeah. He's ready to bury the Lakers, put them 6 feet deep. Are they done? Or can they make a run in the Western Conference?
And can will you speak at the services, right, Frankie?
I don't see them as a finals contender. I haven't viewed them that way in a while. You can ask Brendan, Chris Watkins. I've said it since the beginning of last year, I think, that when it gets down to those final couple teams, and last year we saw what the Denver Nuggets did with them. And I think you were saying earlier, Drapes, about how LeBron, still incredible what he's doing. I mean, he's almost 40 years old. I'm also a big LeBron guy. I mean, I know that's a polarizing thing. You're the LeBron guy or not. I've been a LeBron fan for forever. I grew up watching him. And you can just kind of see he's a step slower. Chris Watkins actually put together a compilation of, you know, LeBron's defending Harrison Barnes late game. Harrison Barnes was cooking in the fourth quarter. And LeBron wasn't even putting an effort into closing out at all. And again, the Lakers were still not out of. They were down by nine with, I think, 7-8 minutes left. Like, it looked like they were making a late charge. And LeBron, just that effort isn't there. Maybe it's him tired going through the ups and downs of the season at age 39. And obviously he's questionable going into every game with an ankle injury. But I'm looking at him. Anthony Davis, I feel like, aside from matching up against Domantas Sabonis, apparently, is a nightmare for most opposing bigs in the NBA. But I'm looking at the fact that they seem very fragile. They don't seem as deep as I think they wanted to be. So I guess I agree with you guys. I'll if I had to say, are they dead? Yeah, I don't think they're going to make it out of the first round if they do qualify. Mm. That's just me myself personally, and I think that a Warriors Lakers play-in, it seems like the most likely scenario, and I don't know if that's going to make the NBA sweat that the fact that they might have one or both of those teams not in the first round, but. The Lakers, to me, and again, after the Kings put up a 4-0 record against them, it's just not a team that I think is going to be a problem for them.
Frankie, we appreciate it. Great job. Good luck with that Yankee rotation, and we'll see you soon.
I almost went through the day without having it ruined. It just did. Almost did. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Clicks. Take it easy. We appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah. As far as a Laker-Warrior play-in, you know, that was they actually played in a play-in a couple years ago. Yeah. The ratings were huge right. for that game, if you remember.
Yes, I do. And, you know, when you look at it, it would be another big game.
Yeah.
But 9-10 is different than 7-8, right? 9-10 means somebody's going home.
Right, right.
And does the league want LeBron out of it, Steph out of it? That would be – and if both of them get knocked out, let's say, you know, Warriors win, but then in that 7-8 matchup, they lose and they're bounced out. A playoffs with no LeBron or Steph Curry?
Ooh. Just think if they had the plan right now, you'd have KD against Luka and you would have Steph against LeBron. In the play-in.
You're talking, you know, top 20 players, you know, Luka maybe when it's all said and done. While the Kings just sitting back, relaxing, getting ready for the first round.
When we come back, we'll look at the significance of this season sweep. Also, one of Wilt Chamberlain's records is in jeopardy of being broken by who? We'll explain when we come back. Drive, guys. Oh, what a day to be a basketball fan in Sacramento. Whitey Draper, thanks for being with us. Drive, guys. Simone, keeping us on track here. I know that you have been really excited about everything the Eagles are doing. Before we get back to the Kings, slow down here. I don't know if you heard about this. NFL reviewing possible tampering violations for the Falcons and the Eagles.
I saw that and I heard that. I'm not worried about it. What, they going to hit us with a fifth-round draft pick or something? Whoop-de-freaking-do. I'm not worried about it. Saquon's coming to Philly. We're not worried about that. Did you see Kirk Cousins sort of admitted, basically, unbeknownst to him, like, yeah, I was talking to the trainer yesterday and the staff yesterday, and it was like before the legal tampering period had begun.
Yeah, so. Cousins said, you're right, Cousins said Wednesday, there's great people here, and it's not just the football team. I mean, I'm looking at the support staff, meeting, calling yesterday, calling our head athletic trainer, talking to our head of PR. I'm thinking, we got good people here. That's exciting to be a part of. And Leek says, that is verboten. So, the Eagles are denying the claim, so clearly
it didn't happen, right?
I mean, you can tell any NFL team.
Why are you taking glee in?
I'm not.
Okay, all right.
Buddy, I feel bad for you, and I just hope this doesn't end up costing you a draft pick or something.
We ain't worried about it. Man, we all about the Super Bowl. Draft picks, six-rounder, woo.
Draft picks, smash picks.
Exactly. Yeah. We're about winning championships in Philly. I did see that, though.
You know, that was it? We talk a lot about ESPN today because they're going crazy about the Lakers loss. What does it mean? Mike Greenberg is saying the Falcons are a Super Bowl team now with Kirk Cousins.
Hold on. How many playoff games has Kirk Cousins won in his career? One. Uno. Right. And now.
Maybe that's the whole point is just trying to get us to talk about, you know, ESPN and Mike Greenberg. I don't know.
Right.
It's like, come on, Greeny, what?
Some people, not me, of course, some people just say things to get a reaction.
And you would never do that.
I wouldn't do that. Only about Brock Purdy. That's it. Everything else I truly believe. So,
what is the significance of a sweep of the Lakers? I think it goes beyond just, well, it's really good for them in terms of the standings. I mean, for longtime Sacramento fans, this feels really good, Drapes. Maybe better than it should.
Yeah, it definitely. Think about it, though. Historically, let's keep it real, Sacramento. The Lakers have historically had our number. Like, we've only swept them twice now in the history of the Kings franchise. Going back to the Royals, going back Kansas City. Like, in history, we've only swept L.A. twice. And at that game last night, Whitey, it's clear to me, our fan base, we still aren't over 2002. So anytime we can kick the Lakers' butts, it means something. And I think it's going to be like that from now until the end of time, because and the problem too is there are about 30% Laker fans in there, maybe even 40.
Yeah.
Last night there were
a
lot.
I should never be surprised by that, but I always
even when the Kings are good like they are now, Lakers fans still find a way. And so the significance, and you saw it last night when they had the Exodus cam up there on the Jumbotron, like it means a little something extra when you beat the Lakers. Yes.
I think it may also feel like it means more now for this reason. We won't know for a while, but it does feel like the Kings are kind of rising now. You know, last couple years, their prospects are getting better. And let's face it, the Lakers, they won a championship a couple years ago. But as you said, LeBron, you watch him, and of course, it's starting to catch up to him a little bit. And so, you know, the Lakers are, they're doing that delicate dance every year of, we got these two aging superstars. One of them gets hurt all the time, and we're just trying to keep a team afloat by adding shooters around them. And it's hard to keep that going for very long.
It is. And what the Lakers are trying to do is not bottom out. Like, and historically, the Lakers always get their guy. Like, they always get a superstar, whether it's Shaq, you know, LeBron, we've seen. You could go back to Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt. Like, they always figure out a way to get that next superstar. But in today's NBA, it's not as easy. Like, and Tyrese Halliburton said something interesting during All-Star Weekend. He said, in today's NBA, there's no such thing as a small market team. Like, your brand can be global, can be big in Indiana, in Milwaukee, and in Los Angeles. And so I don't know if the allure of the purple and gold is as strong as it used to be. And I wonder who's that next superstar for them. Because LeBron, I said it before, I'm a big LeBron fan, but his days of being the best player on a championship team seem to be over to me.
Yeah, and of course they do. It's incredible that he's doing what he's doing now at this age.
Right,
he just can't keep doing it forever. It's impossible.
Exactly. And if you're the Lakers, and I believe LeBron can opt out after this season and become a free agent, and there was some talk during the trade deadline. Somebody said it might have been Big Perk. It might have been somebody else. Trade LeBron James. The Lakers won't do that, but how do you surround LeBron with the championship-level cast where he's the second option or the third? I don't think LeBron knows how to be a second option either. You know, I don't know, because, and maybe it's because of his greatness, their best chance of winning is with him handling the ball. Mm-hmm. Now, if you got Chris Paul in his prime, there's talk maybe they'll go after Trae Young out here. I don't
know
how that looks.
Their defense was last
night.
Right?
You know, I thought a guy like DeJounte Murray would be perfect for the Lakers. I think DeJounte Murray's defense is better than the numbers indicate. And so I don't know where they go right now. It seems like every year they just try to piece it together, you know, instead of really developing guys. Give me a rookie. I guess Austin Reeves, you could say, is somebody they've developed. But
well, they got Bronny next year.
Yeah.
That'll change everything for them.
You're right. But I just don't see a way out for them.
Hey, real quick here. I mentioned somebody's threatening Wilt Chamberlain's record for consecutive field goals made. You know who it is? Wilt Chamberlain made 35 straight shots.
I do know who it is. Do you want me to give the answer?
Yes.
My boy Daniel Gafford down there in Dallas. Yes.
He's made 33 shots in a row. He's too shy of the all-time record set in 1967. When we come back, should Keon Ellis be an everyday starter with the Drive Guys? Next, Sacktown Sports.